And we want to look at verses 1 through 3 tonight, verses 1 through 3. So very short passage. We're going to look at several others that aren't so short, but this is the area that we want to get started in Genesis 35, verses 1 through 3. My throat's been a little scratchy today. I don't know if it's being up at, 15, 20,000 feet for a day or something, but here we are tonight. Let's go ahead and look at verses 1, 2, and 3, and I'll read that for us in Genesis 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Interesting place, don't you think? Bethel. It's mentioned several times throughout the book of Genesis, as well as other places in the Bible. The word Bethel means house of God. If we were to say it in Hebrew, they would say it Bet-El, probably. The T-H would sound like a T. And it was a place where Jacob was becoming quite familiar with. It was a place where earth and heaven met when Jacob was there. As a young single man, he saw a ladder that reached up to heaven and was given promises from God about the future and his people. Some years later, as a young family man, and this is what God is referring to here in chapter 35, he was fearful of Esau, and he was alone at Bethel. Remember, he sent all his servants and family and everybody and said, you go meet Esau first, which kind of sounds pretty cowardly, doesn't it? But he was there alone that night in Bethel, and the Bible says he wrestled with God there, which led to his new name. In Genesis 35, Jacob is not an old man, but he was no longer young. He had grandkids and so forth here at this time. And he had more to offer to the Lord. God told him, I want you to go up again and meet me there. And some things that the Lord showed him there might be some things that we need to see tonight that he wants to speak to us about tonight. So that's the title tonight. Let's go back to Bethel. Is God speaking to us tonight about a time we need to meet with him again in a very special way? Let's go ahead and ask God's help. Before we do, would you bow with me and I'll pray. Lord, we thank you for the examples in Scripture of those who look to you, Lord. And Father, we see both the blessings and we see the problems that they dealt with when they chose differently than your way. I pray tonight, Lord, would you help us to, as we saw even this morning, to examine ourselves. Where are we as we look ahead? There's so many things on the list of the calendar and so forth. Well, now, Lord, we need to take time to just ask for your help. And we need to meet with you again. I pray tonight would be a night like that, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak in a way that that we must respond. I pray, Father, that Jesus would be seen in these passages, these verses in Scripture, Lord, as he is the mold, he's the example we need to follow the most. And may you get the glory, Lord, for everything that is said and done. For it is for you, Lord, and for our goodness, but your greatness, Lord, and glory that we do these things. We pray for your help now. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, he says, and dwell there. Let's look at, first of all, here in verse number 1, let's look at the call from God to go back. The call from God to go back to Bethel. The Bible there again, he says, let's go back, let's meet again at Bethel. And he says, dwell there. Stay there for a day or so. Stick around until I come and meet with you. God calls us back when we wander away from him. You remember the story of the prodigal son. He wandered away, and there was a time when God opened up his understanding and said, listen, what you're doing now isn't better than what you had before, and something needs to change. Do you have a time, maybe a place, where you can look back and say, I dedicated my life to the Lord? I'll encourage you, if you don't have a place or a time like that, that doesn't mean that that particular place is necessarily different than any other, because we're not in Bethel tonight. We can't go there tonight. I'm sure it would be a beautiful place to be, but we're not going there tonight. But spiritually, we can make this place a place of dedication. Has the Holy Spirit been calling you to return? God calls us back when we need to be still. Be still. Remember David, he said, be still and know. Or God told him, be still and know that I am God. There's a time when we need to shut everything off and just let God speak to us. And if you take time in the morning to do that, or whenever through the day, often called devotions time, that's important. But this was a specific time God said, I want you to come and I want you to stay until you hear from me. And that is the purpose of this time at Bethel. Jacob had found rest in his journey to Canaan there. It was a place that had some area where he could relax, and his family and so forth at the time. He heard God speak to him. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen. We have the Word of God that speaks to us today. That's where we hear from him. But we also have the Holy Spirit who guides and directs and shows us God's plan. He had the promises to Abraham and Isaac, and they were now personal to Jacob. And Jacob here made vows of commitment to the Lord as well. Take a look. Verse 2, and Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. He made an altar. This was not the first altar he had made there. I wonder if he was making another altar or if he repaired the one that had already had in the past, but regardless, he was there to give something to God. He was there to give something to God. That was his purpose. That was his plan. Is God calling you? Is he calling me tonight to go back to the place where we dedicated? Do you remember? Remember when you gave me your life? It's time to do that again. It's time to do that. Why did he need to do that again? Well, remember how God worked in Jacob's life. One of the things that others saw that God's hand was on Jacob is that he was blessed beyond measure. He continued to grow. His family grew. His wealth grew. He was one of the wealthiest people in the land at the time. And though all that came from the Lord, it was time for him to rededicate, I believe, and give it back to the Lord as well. That is part of the reason, I think, that God called him back. Listen, you got more to offer me, Jacob. You got more to offer me. It's not that you got less. You got more. You've got more. The call from God to go back to Bethel. Let's take a look, number two, at the conviction within Jacob that drove him to Bethel. Verse number two. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Notice here, verse number two, God told him, I want you to come back and meet me again at Bethel. But Jacob told his family, he said, before we go, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of anything that would be an affront to God. Anything in our life, in our home, in our hearts that would be an affront to God. The conviction within Jacob drove him to Bethel. Jacob responded to God's conviction with action. The Bible says they put away the strange gods. Would you go to Colossians chapter 3 with me? Colossians chapter 3. Strange here would be different than what God would have. Different. Strange from what God would have. Not in agreement with him. Different. Colossians chapter 3 gives us an idea as a Christian. If you're born again tonight, praise the Lord for that. Amen. If you're born again, you got the greatest gift in eternity. And God says, listen, here's what I want you to do with your gift. Verse number 4 is where we're going to start. Take a look at verse number 4 in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 4. I'm going to read down to verse number 7. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, put away, kill off, that's literally what mortify means, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Are some of the things that we have kept from God, are they keeping us from a place like Bethel, from a time to dedicate and give our life back to him? Put away the strange gods. They had strange things going on. We're going to look at some of those specifically in just a moment. But the Bible tells the Christian today, the strange gods, most of us don't have idols of Mary or others in our household tonight. But if you're born again, there can be other idols in our life that are taking the place of the Lord. Notice some of the things he talks about. Talks about the lust of the flesh here, the fornication, the uncleanness, the inordinate affection, the inappropriate ways we behave, evil concupiscence, covetousness, wanting what's not ours that belongs to somebody else or what God has blessed them with. And he says that is idolatry, for which things God's wrath has come on the children of disobedience. He says, I don't want you to walk that way anymore. Be different than what you were and come to me. Bring the strange gods. They sought God's cleansing. If you look back in verse number 2, back in Genesis 35, he said, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. And be clean. Hey, praise the Lord that we can remove things from life so that they're not in front of our eyes, maybe even in our heart any longer. But here's what God says, you still need me to fill you. You still need me to fill you because your flesh will want it again. How many have ever found out that if you eat today, you'll still be hungry tomorrow? Anybody figured that out? Doesn't matter how much you eat. And you could probably go a day or so without it, but in a few days later, things really start to hurt and begin to shut down. It's because you live in the flesh. So do I. But not only physical things, but things of the flesh, he says, can come back. So what do we need to do? Not only rid of them, but ask God to cleanse us from them. 1 John 1:9, if you know the verse, say it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anything that would be opposed to God, he says, listen, I can take care of. In fact, he's the only one who can. Amen. He's the only one who can. As strong as you are, as strong as I might be, I've been saved since I was 6 years old. But I can still be overtaken by sin, and so can you. That's why we need God. Amen. That's why we need him. They sought God's cleansing. Now notice something else here in verse number 2. If you're in Genesis 35 again, he says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. And then he says, change your garments. Change your garments. The strange gods and the cleanliness touched the soul, touched the heart. But there needed to be a change also on the outside that corresponds with him. By the way, notice the progression. The change was supposed to be in the heart first, then the outside to follow. And that is natural for a believer in Christ. Amen? That's natural. If you give your heart and life over to God, sooner or later it's going to show up on you. It's going to show up on you. The Bible tells us that even believers can carry around strange things. If you're still in Colossians chapter 3, I'm sorry, not there yet. They changed their garments. They changed their garments. By the way, did you know that you have a garment that you're never going to change? Isaiah 61. Would you look there with me? Isaiah 61, verse 10. This is why God wants us to live for him outwardly as well as desire him inwardly. Isaiah 61, look at verse number 10. It's because we have a garment that's not going to change if you know Christ as your Savior. By the way, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, tonight's the night to get to know Him. Amen? Amen. Tonight's the night to call on Him. Don't wait any longer. Isaiah 61, look at verse number 10 for a moment, will you? He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me, what? With the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. We can't look any better than when Jesus is seen on us. There's no better look than that. And God says, first of all, let your heart bring your heart to me, and then let Jesus shine through after that. You know, even believers can carry around strange things. Here the Bible says that they were to put away the strange gods, but God desires us to get rid of strange things too, strange that are not in agreement with God. Colossians chapter 3, would you go back there with me? We were there earlier. Colossians 3, verses 4 through 7 is what we read. Now let's continue, verse number 8, 9, and 10. So the Apostle Paul told the Colossians, listen, this is the way you used to live before Christ. Now you've got Him. Set your affection on things above. Christ is going to appear. We need to be ready for Him by living this life for Him. Now take a look at verse number 8. This is an interesting phrase. Verse 8 in Colossians chapter 3 says this, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Some of these things we say, well, I'm justified in that. Well, God says, no. No, it's not what my son did. You know, there's only a couple of times that mentioned anger and Jesus in the same passage. And one of them was when He walked into the temple. He was angered by the lack of respect and glory that was not given to the Lord through that. But here He says, now you need to consider what's going on in the heart. What is it that touches you that needs to change? Do we have strange plans that are different from God's? They're not His. We were talking with our friends this afternoon. They came over and spent a little time with us. We enjoyed that, catching up with some people. They mentioned people I don't even remember who they were anymore. They're like, yeah, you remember so-and-so? Nah, I don't remember them. Well, they're doing this and that. And we shared a little bit, each of us, how our life has gone. And I think I've shared this with y'all, that when we lived down south in Georgia and Tennessee, that was our plan. That was my plan. I was like, Lord, I think I'm gonna go be a chaplain in the military. That sounds pretty honorable, and help these guys. And you know, that's a good thing. That's something that certainly you're gonna take care of us for. And by the way, I want you to bless us for it. How many know it's not a good thing to tell God what to do? It didn't take long for me to find that out, Brother Dan. That was my plan. It was not a bad plan. It was not an evil plan, but it was not God's plan. God's plan was for us. And maybe that year He just used to remind us, guess what? I'm the one who cares for you. You can't figure all that out. You need to rely on me. And He brought us back, and here we are, amen, today. Strange attitudes. Here in Colossians 3, He talks about the wrath, the anger, the malice, etc. All those things, filthy communication. We should not sound like the flesh. We should not live like the flesh. God says, we can do that. We can put those off, He says, and put on Christ. Strange words, and even strange goals. Strange goals. Again, having things that aren't necessarily bad, but are they God's? Are they God's? You know what? How you find out what God wants? Go to Bethel. Dwell there for a while. Say, Lord, what is it you want? I've got my plans. I got what I think. But Lord, what do you want? Because I want to do it your way. That's the best way to find out. Amen. And let Him show you. Because even as a believer, I can carry around strange things. God says, get rid of them, put on me. Is my heart open or closed to God's voice? Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 3? Is my heart open or closed to God's voice? He shares with us the positives and the negative of that here in Hebrews chapter 3. Verse number 6, 7, and 8. In fact, would you read those verses with me? We're reading 6, 7, and 8. Let's read them together. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's begin. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. And the chapter here, and much of Hebrews actually, goes back to the time of the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. And their hardness just seemed to recycle over and over and over. And in the New Testament, God tells us, don't harden your heart like that. Get to the next step in your Christian life. Be soft before me. Be open to what I have to tell you. Is my heart open or closed to God's voice? Oh, how God. And folks, you know, sometimes we say, well, I'm just not hearing God. Let me ask you, does that mean God is not speaking? Anytime we open this, we can say God is speaking. And there are times, of course, too, when God speaks directly through the Spirit of God. Here's the detail. Here's the exact thing I have for you to do based on what I've shown you in the Bible. But if we hear nothing, we can't blame the Lord for that. He doesn't deserve that. Amen. The Bible tells us to consider and let God convict us within and drive us to Him, to Bethel here as we've looked at in Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 35. Let's go back to Luke 35 and verses number 2 and 3. So we've looked at the call from God to go back. We've looked at the conviction within Jacob that drove him to Bethel. Let's take a look at, we'll call it the consecration. The consecration, a word that we don't hear a lot, but it's in Scripture, of course, and we're going to look at it. The consecration of Jacob's heart in his return to Bethel. The consecration of Jacob's heart in his return. Verse number 3, take a look. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Consecrate, here's what it means. It means to set apart for the service of the Lord, to dedicate, to set it apart. This is what it's for. It's not for anything else. And in this case, this is who we are for. This is who we are to be, consecrated to God. An example of this is in Exodus 28, when God was sharing with Moses the office of the priests there in Israel. Here's what he said in Exodus 28, verse 40 and 41. And for Aaron's sons, that thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. When they had these garments on, they were not to do anything else but fulfill their office of the priest. Let me ask you a question. Who are the priests today? 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's find out. 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, it's got to be the pastor, right? Well, he should be one of them. but he's not the only one. 1 Peter chapter 2, take a look. Verse number 9 is what we're going to look at. 1 Peter 2, and of course, Peter speaking, writing to those who know Christ as Savior. He says in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the Baptist heritage, you could say, the doctrine that is considered to be known as Baptist, we look in Scripture, but it's from the Bible. It's not something unique in the sense of that it's whether it's just us. It's true. And that is this, that as a believer in Christ, you and I are priests. We have an access to God personally. That's what the priest had. And he says, as a priest, the priesthood of the believer, he says, here's some things you need to remember. You need to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, not goofy, but unique in the sense of you're honoring the Lord. You know, something interesting, if you've been down Knight Street, anybody ever tried to be going down Knight Street in the last 3 weeks? You didn't make it, did you? But on our street, and maybe it's in the same way in your neighborhood, everybody on our street knows we're not going to be home on Sunday. They know it. They watch us. They see us. They don't come out and, you know, take pictures or anything like that. But there's something peculiar in the sense of they're doing something different than us. And God says he wants you and I to be peculiar in the sense we're honoring the Lord, regardless of what the world would say. That you show forth the praises of him who hath called you. Does God get the praise from your lips, from your language? Do others hear you do that? That God gets the glory for those things and thankfulness for that. And then he says, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The consecration of Jacob's heart in his return to Bethel, God said he wanted him to be set apart. Now here's a couple thoughts on that. First of all, Jacob made his heart decision known to all. Look again, if you would, at verse number 3. He made his decision, his heart decision, known to all, especially his family. That's who he was with. And there were many of them there. Verse number 3, here's what it says. First few words. And let, what's the next one? Us. And let us arise. You're going to see something from God. But we need to meet with him. And let us arise, he said. And go up to Bethel. Remember the prodigal son, we recalled him. And the story is similar in the sense of the prodigal son. He was on his route of running as well. But remember who was his audience that day when he was in the pigsty. The Bible says he came to himself. Who was his audience that day? The pigs. The pigs, who are animals. They are part of God's creation, but his influence on others only came through the story that Jesus told about him. But that day it was a personal decision. And by the way, that's where it needs to start, amen? Let it start personally. But then he says here with Jacob, this is going to be public. My whole family's going to see. We're going to change some things around here. We're going to change some things for God. He announced his resolution to all and for all. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. And on their behalf, he made an altar unto God. Jacob's consecration drew him to worship the Lord. Notice again, he said, I will make there an altar unto God, a place where I can offer things to him and give back to him. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, please? Hebrews chapter 10. What is it that God says we can offer to the Lord? Verse 19 is where we're going to look. Hebrews chapter 10. And starting in verse number 19, I'm going to read down to verse number 25. Here's what it says. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Jacob's consecration drew him to worship the Lord. We often look at these verses and when we talk about being at church and spending time together there. But this is a time to be in the audience of God, to be in His presence and asking His help and offering praise to Him. God says, that's what you can do with me in your altar on that place. Give what you have to me and let me use it for goodness and for reaching people for Christ. His consecration drew him to worship the Lord. And Jacob's consecration, final thought, increased his faithfulness to the Lord. If we go back to verse 3, take a look here in Genesis, verse number 3. He said, "I will make there an altar unto God." And notice the last part of the verse here. "Who answered me in the day of my distress." Isn't it good that God answers prayers? He testified that God answered his requests. Sometimes we keep in our heart and mind the ones that we haven't seen answered yet. We think, man, God, what's God's holdup? What's the deal? And we forget the small ones sometimes. How many have ever prayed that God would give you a good day? Or God would watch over you as you travel? Or, you know, things that we just take for granted. Well, I'm just going to do my duty and I'll say this. No, God still works through the prayer. Amen? And Jacob said, "I remember you answering for me, Lord, my requests. You answered my prayers." Then notice this, "in the way which I went." Something interesting I thought when I was looking at this part of the verse, he did not say, "in the way which you told me." You see that there? He did not say, "in the way which you led me." He said, "in the way when I went, you still listened to me. You still answered prayers." He looked back to remember God's presence in his life. And folks, that's when you get to see God's presence, when you look back. Amen? And where do you see that? When you go back to Bethel, when you dwell with God for a moment, for a time, and he shows you, remember, back at this point, you had no idea what to do, and then I showed you. Remember when you asked what to say, and you had no idea what to do, and I gave the words to you? Remember this? Remember that? Hey, the Holy Spirit has a good memory. Amen? Much better than ours. And the Bible says, would you take some time to dwell with me? And let me remind you of my presence throughout your life and how I've answered your requests and even done beyond that. I've cared for you and provided for you. That land of Bethel still exists, of course. It's just land, but it is very far away. The place of consecration, though, can be right here. The time of consecration can be right now. The Bible says God appeared unto Jacob again after that. If we continued through the chapter, we would see that God did meet with him again. And he says later on in the chapter, he confirms. This is not the first time he told Jacob that his name would be different, but he confirms to him the change. God would no longer call him Jacob, which means the supplanter or takes the place of. He would now be called Israel, which is an interesting definition too. That means the one who struggled with God and prevailed. That's the name that God gave him when he was there wrestling, I believe was a type of Christ, Christophany, an appearance of Jesus that night. But he gave him a new name and called him Israel, which he's been known ever since. And now, of course, because of his obedience to God, what's the name on everybody's lips in the world right now? If it's not Iran, then it's Israel. It's still in God, it's still in people's minds and hearts. And certainly it's not out of God's mind, amen? We ought to pray for souls to be saved there. But the point is this, is that God honored Jacob Israel's obedience to him, as he can honor ours, as he desires to do so. What do you say? Are you ready to go back to Bethel? Heavenly Father, help us to see what you see in our life and what we have done or can do. Whatever you choose, Lord, would you show us, Lord, the decision that you've required tonight, Lord, to bring to the altar for you so that you can use us again. You can use us in a way perhaps we hadn't even thought of, to reach a soul, to help our family, to do what we need to do at work or home or wherever we live, Lord, that your presence can be there through us. I ask, dear Lord, you help us to see what you see. Perhaps, Lord, there's one who needs to receive Christ as Savior listening tonight, whether here or online. Lord, the real joy would be to hear of a soul call on Christ. That's when the angels rejoice, you said. And we look forward to that. That's the need, that this would be the time to do that. Would you help us to see, is this the time we need to go back to be there, to dwell with you, and let you speak to us as we bring these things before you? Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. If you're able, would you stand with me? If you're able, would you stand? We have heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm just going to ask the organ to softly play the song in just a moment. When she begins to play the organ, maybe God's spoken to you. Maybe now's the time that he says, would you meet with me, dwell with me? Even it might be a short time, but would you get the time started about these things we've looked at tonight? Are you ready to go back to Bethel? If you need the Lord, I've got my Bible. We've got others who can help too, if that's the need. But as she begins to play, would you respond tonight? Would you turn there? Number 635. We'll sing the first two verses. If no one else comes, we'll close with prayer. Well, let's do follow through with that song. Make a decision to follow Christ in every way that he shows us. Let's go ahead and do that. Good to be in God's house tonight. We're going to pray and then be dismissed.